Being enthusiastic about that. Good. So, like you said, he was here for the men, but the women are doing something as well. There's a women's group, and part of that leadership team, I think, is who? Okay. Yep, Ashley, Susan, and Dee. So, but those, well, we are going to switch to that here in a couple of weeks, so that's going to be exciting piece. And basically, we won't assemble in here at all Sunday night. You'll just kind of just go where you need to go, and we'll figure that out when we get that first one going. And we told them to make sure we let you guys out by 8 or by 7, I should say, by 7. So, it's been good so far. I think it's been good. Taking a few days off, it was good for me just to take a few days off, and. But back to it. I won't say back to the grind, but back to the working and serving tonight. Today, after our service, there'll be a group from Kentucky from Life Point coming in tonight. They'll be traveling this afternoon, so we'll be praying for them. And there will be 47 people coming from Franklin, Kentucky today to stay here for a week to serve here. So we've had 4 mission teams already. This will be number 5. I'm telling you, I don't think we really comprehend what's really going on here. I don't think you comprehend really what's going on here. If you go by our 2 houses over here, you'll notice that they are not the same. Sometimes we get work like that done, and it's exciting because you get to see the work, but then there's that other work that you don't see because it's in between the walls. But it has to get done too. But we definitely have had a good week a couple of weeks ago with that team. Got a lot done, got a lot accomplished. And so we're looking forward to continue on. And this week, we are also having they have extra people. So they want to do a cookout down at the park. That one that we had to cancel because of the rain. We're rescheduling that this coming Tuesday and Wednesday at the park. General Slack, and there'll be, for kids, there'll be face painting, all that fun stuff. They'll be bringing a live band. Some of our people will sing. A lot of their people will sing. And there should be a good time and a cookout and all kinds of extra stuff because they got all the people to bring it in, but we need to be a part of that to help them as well. Once again, I don't think you realize what God is doing here. God doesn't have to have a lot of people. All he has to have is a few that says, pick me. And God will use what he has. Took 8 people to build an ark. I don't think you understand that. 8 people. Y'all ever seen? You ever see? That's amazing. 8 people did that. Everybody else was out lollygagging. Everybody was out living life the way they thought that they could do it. Everybody else out there had attitudes. Everybody else had their thoughts of what life should be. And then the first raindrop, bonk. Then it got people's attention. But there comes a time when the attention becomes too late. But we serve an awesome God. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 18 this morning. I want you to go there. And we see in the book of Genesis, we see some special moments and special times through some characters where God spent some time with some individuals. And sometimes people will say, man, I wish just God had those times to do that now. But I want to remind you that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit reigns inside of you, and he is the one that speaks to you. So I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 18, and we're gonna start there. But before we start, I always go with what I feel like the Spirit tells me. So if there is somebody here this morning that needs prayer because you can't wait, there's somebody here this morning that just needs prayer over something, you need to get up and we'll take care of your business right now. No? Okay. All right, well, we'll move on then. I will tell you this. You carry the weight that you're not supposed to carry. It is the most heaviest weight. It will drag you down. It almost suffocates you it almost drowns you like you're in the water, and it keeps you down, and you just keep getting up just enough to grab a piece of air, some breath, and you go right back down because it's something that you cannot do life and do it right without God. You just can't. You just can't do it. And I'm talking about something today that only blessed people get. And I was like, Lord, have we got blessed people in our church? Because this is about blessed people today. This is the deeper stuff. And people say, well, they read this. There's not much into it. But I'm telling you, there is a blessedness. And I ain't talking about having a good day. I'm talking about the blessedness where God takes His time out to come visit you. Have you ever had that? Have you ever been in that moment where there's an awkward moment? It's something that you feel like it's out of the blue, but it's not really out of the blue. But it is a time when God comes to you and He makes a visit. He visits you. He's going to come and He's going to visit you. We see this with Abraham now. There's a couple of visitors coming to see Abraham. And prior to that, there was a visit that God had talked to Abraham, saying, you're going to have this child. He says, hey, I'm pretty old and my wife is pretty old, but I'm going to be here. How can we do this? And he worships God after that because God said, hey, is there anything I cannot do? And he believes it. But there's a time when God makes a promise or God tells us something that is going to happen. And there's a time when we're looking forward to that. And I believe that Abraham was looking forward to that. But I want to ask you a question. Was there ever a time in your life where God showed up and you kind of felt like it was out of the blue, or it's just kind of cut you off where you were? And something like that might, like, you know, maybe it was something under conviction where you were convicted and He uses something to convict your heart to get you back on the straight and narrow. Maybe it was something through a song that you're driving down the road and you're feeling like, well, where are you, God? And then boom, it just connects with you. And I want to tell you, there is a difference between the Holy Spirit and emotions, but He connects with you on, because music can be very emotional, and it's not, this is a bad thing, but it will connect with you. Maybe there was a moment in your life where you saw something that only connected with you. That was just you, and you couldn't even really share that with people because they wouldn't understand it. Maybe it was a phone call from a friend that said something, or someone called you and said something that was only for you. That it was something that turned around and it was something that just impacted your life. Maybe it was a field of dragonflies at a moment when you're like, what does that mean? It only would mean something to someone that would know something about that. And you knew that God's peace was there. And it trumped everything everybody else said. Maybe it was a moment when you was reading Scripture and Scripture just popped out. And it was that you were just reading so much and then the Scripture just jumped off the page and just spoke to you. And it was for you alone. Maybe God made a visit to you through someone and it just was at this moment here where He just got on the phone and He just said, it's time to come home. And you knew exactly what that meant. But only you would know that. And God makes visits to His people. Sometimes it is under conviction. Sometimes it's under blessing. Sometimes it's a time. It is time. We're going to read now in Genesis chapter 18. We're going to read here for a moment. And it says, then in verse 1, then the Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting in the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day. And he looked up and he saw three men standing near him. And when he saw them, he ran from the entrance to the tent to meet them and bow to the ground. Then he said, my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, please do not go on past your servant. Let a little water be brought that you may wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. I will bring a bit of bread so that you can maybe strengthen yourselves. This is why you have passed your servant's way. Later, you can continue on. Yes, they replied, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, quick, knead three measures of fine flour and make bread. And meanwhile, Abraham ran to the herd and he got a tender choice calf and gave it to a young man who hurried to prepare it. And then Abraham took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set them before the men. And he served them as they ate under the tree. Where is your wife? They asked him. There in the tent, he answered. And the Lord said, I will certainly come back to you in a year's time, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So she laughed to herself, and after I become shriveled up and my Lord is old, will I have the light? But the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, can I really have a baby when I'm old? Is anything impossible for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will come back to you, and in and about a year, she will have a son. Sarah denied it. I did not laugh. She said, because she was afraid. But he replied, no, you did laugh. So we look at this piece here. We look at a piece here that just kind of seems like the story preceding before the Lord talks to Abraham about what he's going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. But there's a piece here that the Lord is visiting Abraham. Now I want to tell you that he sees them coming and he knows who they are. Now I want to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you connects with God because it is part of God. You should know when something is of the Holy Spirit and when it's not. You should know when it's something of God and when it's not. When you hear somebody preach and you hear it and you're seeing some things, and there's something sometimes in you that says, man, they sound like they're saying the right thing, but something is off. This guy seems like a really nice guy. He says the right things, but something is off. Now, we know that there's a gift of discernment that gets heightened. God gives us spiritual gifts, and the gift of discernment is a part of that. But I believe also the Holy Spirit gives us some discernment anyway. Okay? It's just like the spiritual gift of faith. We all have faith, but the spiritual gift of faith is heightened for some because it is a spiritual gift. But I believe we all have some spiritual discernment there. And that comes from the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. But he knew who was coming. He knew who was coming. He knew who was in front of him. And as he knows that it is a visit, then God's visit to Abraham is not a chastisement. It's not a critical visit. It's not a conviction visit. It's not those things. It's not a correction visit. It's a visit of a blessing. Now, I will tell you, a visit of a blessing is amazing. But I will tell you that Abraham, he ran to the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, when you are not walking with the Lord, when the Lord comes, you will not run toward him. You will run away from him. Because some of us have done that. We have ran away from the Lord. We have stopped going to church. We get an attitude toward life. We get an attitude toward the church. We get an attitude toward the things of God. And so when God shows up, we know who we are. We built ourselves up with all those negative things. So we can't help but to turn around and run away. And so we see that Abraham did not run away. You see, a lot of people run away from their blessings. Because they would rather have the world. Listen, I'm telling you folks, we live more in the flesh than you. The flesh is destructive. The flesh is very destructive. It never has the best intentions for you. It never has the best plan for you. The flesh is all about get as much as you can, get it now, and devour and overindulge in everything, and then it ends up destroying you. But Abraham didn't run away from the Lord. You see, I see people run away from the Lord all the time. When the Lord calls them out for salvation, the Lord calls them in conviction, Christians are running away from the Lord at times. You know, I always believe, you know, the prodigal son is out there living his life and he's in the pig pen. But here's the thing, he left the house and he had to go to, and he went out and he did that life, and it's a highway. I call it the prodigal highway. There's people heading to the prodigal pig pen, they're heading to the pig pen, and there's people getting up and finally getting it together, heading out of the pig pen. So there's a highway with traffic going both ways. Now let me ask you a question. Have you been on both sides of the highway? It's time to get off the wrong side and get on the wrong side. Or get on the right side so that you can start getting the blessings of God. I believe God has a lot of blessings for his people, but I believe a lot of people run away from God. They're living the life that God's called them to live. So when God comes, he does not give us the blessings that he desires for us to have, because we're not coming to him. We're running away from him. And we see in this story that Abraham doesn't run away, but that he runs toward him. He runs toward the Lord, and the Lord's going to talk about a blessing that he's going to give to him. And when our relationship is right with God, guess what we will want to do? We will want to spend time with him. Abraham, so he's sitting under here, getting under this tree. He goes and he says, hey, Sarah, you go over here and you get this bread going over here. he gets one of his servants. He says, "You get over here and get some meat going over here." And he's going to want to spend some time with the Lord. Now, if you would spend some time with the Lord today, how would that time be spent? And I believe God wants to spend time with us. We see that in the very, very beginning when God walked He walked in the garden during that end of the day and the cool of the day, and he walked with Adam during the cool of the day. God wants to spend time with you and I. But we all want to spend time with Him. And so we see here that Abraham is spending time. So he's going to do something that is awesome. Not just spend time with the Lord, but Abraham understands it. You see, Abraham has a lot of servants, a lot of people serving him and working for him, doing things. But when it comes to the Lord, there's humility and humbleness. And it begins that the Bible says that he served them. He served them. He didn't ask God to serve him. He served them. And this is what we do a lot of times in the church. We want the church to serve us. And God says that we need to serve God. We need to learn how to serve. That's what we're doing. This is why the American church is struggling. We come into the church and we want to be served. We want to be served instead of serve. Now, if I just said something and you don't understand it, go back and read John chapter 15, 16, and a little bit of 17, and you'll understand what serving really means. And we need to want to serve. Your life is ticking, and it's ticking fast. You can't get back tomorrow, and you can't get back those other years, but you have what you have today. And we need to be ready when the Lord shows up, that we could be ready to be serving Him. We need to be found serving God. We need to be found serving Him. And when the Lord came, Abraham was serving Him. And when he served Him, and we got to get that right. We can't flip it. We need to keep it straight. Because here it is. Abraham was looking for that promise. He was looking for that. And God kept telling him in pieces, "You're going to be a father of many nations. You're going to be this. You're going to be that." And it was kind of complicated at times. And now it's getting more clear. But yet not totally clear. But he knows now he's going to have this son, this child. And he's looking forward to it. But there is a thing called God's timing. God's timing is always different than our timing. Because our timing is always now. It's now or never. Now I explain that. Now means we want it now. We want it now. We want it now. Never means, or tomorrow means this. Yeah, I'll do it then. When a man's called to preach, he won't do it. I'll do it later. A woman's called to go do this. I'll do it later. A person's called to do this. I'll do it later. And they keep putting it off. And I'm telling you, they miss the blessing and the calling on their life. And they miss the purpose. They're always going to be a circle trying to fit into a square peg hole. Somehow it just never fits. Everything they do always seems to be hard. It always seems to be hard. Abraham was focused. In short, I want to tell you that God keeps His promises. I don't know if you know, if maybe you don't, maybe you do, I don't know, but has there been a moment in your life that God's made a promise to you or to what you're doing or however something in your life, or you know that God's called you or God said this is going to happen? Because listen, we don't have a God that sits there and sleeps and sits there and does nothing. We have a God that is an active God. He's active with the stars and the weather and everything and the planets and the universe, and everything goes in the way that it should. He's working through all those things. Listen, we have an active God. We talked about this last week. When you pray, listen, your prayers mean something. Y'all remember that. Your prayers are in heaven, and they're treated. Your prayers are treated very, very respectfully. An incense to God. So if what comes up is an incense and a good aroma to God, what do you think what comes down? It's much better than what goes up. Because what comes down is from the Lord. And what comes down is not just to be there. It comes down with a purpose. It comes down with a power. It comes down with intention to change, intention to impact lives, a people or a person or a church or a community or whatever it may be. But it comes down, and it came down in front of Abraham, and Abraham took it and he embraced it. And we see later on that in the next year that he has a moment that he becomes a father to Isaac. I want you to know God keeps his promises. Many of you know, and sitting in a hotel room, and God worked on me over all these ministries. And in 2005, it was in 2007 when we opened up our first ministry. That still fires me up today. It still fires me up, the trip that we took down there, that we took some people down there. It still fires me up that we're doing that today. It fires me up that God has never took his hand off of this place, even though people have abandoned, people have left and never come back, and most of them have left and never went back to church anywhere. But it keeps me ignited knowing that we serve the living and most and a powerful God. That he visits. And he's doing things. Can I tell you real quick? Just look at me for a moment. People say, would Jesus come, if he would come and visit this church? I pray that he would, and I believe that he would. Not because we have the greatest music, nothing intention, but not because we have the greatest band in town. Not because we have the greatest preaching in town. Not because we have the most awesomest buildings in town. Not because we have doctors in the pulpit, or doctors and lawyers and we have the best paved and the best programs and all those things in town. Because we're building the wrong things, folks. The American church is building the wrong thing. I believe he would come in because he would be familiar with the things that we do. As he was when we read the stories of Jesus in the Gospels. That doesn't make us any better than anybody. But basically, we're just doing what God's called us to do. And we trust him with it. We trust him 100% with everything. When we have money, when we don't have money, it all comes from him. He's our supplier. He's our funder. He always has been, always will be. That messes people up. It goes against everything the funding books tell us. It goes against everything against fundraising that it tells us to do. Because God is our supplier. God is the one that owns all of it. Be careful of the blessings that you have that you think that they are yours and you made them. Be careful that the blessings that you have, you got them because you're so good at something. Your blessings are wanting to be stolen every day. As we found out last week, as Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Be careful that you may not understand what grace is in your own life. Be careful that you take your eyes off of Jesus and put them on yourself, but that you should put your eyes upon the cross, upon Jesus Christ every day, and in his word every day. Abraham kept his eyes and was always reminded of the last time that God spoke to him in a way that only God can do. You see, some of our testimonies are great, but some of our testimonies are too old. They're good for you from time to time, but you need a new testimony. You need to share. You need to have a new testimony in your life. And your testimony in your life is you live in the life that God's called you to live. And be involved. Be out there. Be on the line. Be out there on the edge. Walk on the cliffs. Which means to be out there where God's at. Don't get secure because you have two kids. And you think, oh, this is, I just got to be a mommy. I just got to be a daddy. Listen, there's a part of that. That's responsibility, but that does not take you away from your responsibilities as a believer in Christ. That does not take your responsibility away from what God has called you to do. If you don't have the strength, praise God, you shouldn't have the strength to do it. I know what it's like to raise kids. God gives you the strength to do it. I've dragged my kids everywhere. Everywhere I dragged my kids, everywhere. Whether they were camps or overnights or whatever they were, I dragged them everywhere. Revivals, I dragged them everywhere. Because your blessings come from God. I'm waiting for the next blessing. That's how I'm waiting for God's next blessing, because I anticipate it, because that's how awesome He is. That's how amazing that He is. I'm anticipating blessings in my own life. I'm anticipating blessings that God, what God's going to do in these ministries and what He's going to do with this next house. I still believe it's going to open. And I know it's going to open because He said He would. And if you left the church, He'd still do it, because it ain't built upon man. It's built upon the hands of Jesus Christ. It's built on the power of God. God owns everything. Cattle on a thousand hills, He owns everything. And somebody said, well, let's ask God to sell one. Folks, I don't know if you realize what we need in this church. Our buildings are falling apart. We need roofs on everything. That's $100,000. We don't have AC next door. We need to get AC next door. We need to get adequate heating. Our bricks are falling apart on this building. And we continue to build, and we continue to repair. But what does all that mean? You see, when God called me to come here in Huntington, He never told me about all that other stuff. Because you got to start with step one. Step one means when He says go, will you go? That's all. You start on your journey, you say, oh my gosh, I don't know, He's calling me to do something. You take a step forward. Oh, then you start walking. Then you start seeing something. God begins to open up doors. All along you're learning. You're growing as a believer. You're taking some hits. You're growing some rhino skin. You're growing up in the Lord. Oh, and then He meets you somewhere on the path as you continue to walk toward Him. He shows you something there, gives you insight, He gives you more purpose. Where much is given, much is acquired, right? He sees it, He acquires it. But the second part of that verse is, where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. So as He entrusts you with the things of God and the things of the kingdom of God, He's going to trust you with more of it. And you continue to walk forward. And as you begin to walk forward, you're like Abraham, and you're continuing, and then you start running toward Him and not running away from Him. And some of us have walked away from the Lord, and it looks like we haven't, but we have, because we haven't seen the blessings that God has upon our lives and the blessings that He has in store for us. And we see that, and we don't understand why. Listen, we need to stop, get focused, and get our hearts right back with God. And that's what we need to do. God has got a plan for new life. God has got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. Let me tell you about buildings real quick. I want to tell you about buildings before I close. I have no intentions. I'm going to tell you. If you go back to the Genesis chapter 11, you'll see, and this is what really gets me. You'll see that there are some people there in Genesis chapter 11. They were going to build this Tower of Babel. Y'all know the story of Tower of Babel. In chapter 11, they're going to build a Tower of Babel. God says, let us go down and see what they're doing. He said, look at them. They're building something, because they said, let's make a name for ourselves. Let me tell you, God's not interested in the buildings that we build. God's interested in the purpose and why. He said, they're trying to build a name for themselves. Let's go down and confound their language, confuse them, and then they dispersed them over the earth. That's 101. That's Bible Genesis 101. And we're doing that in America all the time, building Babel, big towers. And I wonder sometimes if God's doing this. When you put your heart, when you put everything into what you can see, listen, we have different eyes than God has. But because we have the Holy Spirit, we can see things that God wants us to see. And it's not, you have to have good buildings. You need to have good buildings. But it's what you do with the buildings that you have. That's the only reason I believe that God continues to keep working, because we're doing what God's called us to do. We're doing what... Listen, do you see any officials from Huntington coming here? We had at one time, we had a prosecutor come here when we were across the street. Guess what? Five, six people came up to the church and says, I don't like him. He put me in jail. I don't like him. He put my brother in jail. Listen, you did what you did. But he left the church because he didn't feel wanted. You see, we think we are all really good. And we bash the first person that comes in. We haven't had anybody since. You see any police officers coming here? I don't. You see any judges coming here? I don't. Matter of fact, most of them go out of town. Abraham saw the Lord off in the distance. When it was the heat of the day, Abraham was camped out under the tent, just kind of chilling out. And he saw Jesus. Saw the Lord. He saw him from a distance. And he got up and he ran toward him. And they give news that he's going to have a child, that Sarah's going to bear a child, and she laughs. And she denied it. And at the end of this part, he says, yeah, you did. You know what? I call that grace. You don't talk to God like that. We have a lot of grace that God gives to us. But in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll see Sarah had faith. My question really for you today, do you feel like a blessed person? I'm not talking about, I got a good job, I got a good life, and hey, everything's great. I'm talking about, do you know where your blessings come from? Because you truly don't know if you're blessed until you know where they come from. Is God involved in your life to the point that you're involved with Him and that you can have a conversation where you don't run away? And this story concludes and it tells me, as I read it, that God keeps His promises, that God blesses the faithful ones. And we must always be ready for a visit without shame. You can never outgive God. And we serve God, He don't serve us. That's against the whole thing of what's being preached in this country today, because all I'm hearing is get your best life now. It's all about you. Go get your stuff. Go get yours. Go get yours. Listen, I don't need mine. I need His. My stuff didn't work anyway. My mess didn't work anyway. I need Him. He's got the plan. He's got the blessings. My way didn't work, but God's way does. Listen, you all know my story. I lived my 7-year-old dream out till I was 26. I lived it all out. There was no fulfillment at all until I hit 30. And God told me, I never purposed you to do what you've been doing for the last 10 years. You've gone against the grain. You've gone against my way. I went against God's will. And I can tell you through that, I had no peace for 10 years. I had no peace in my life for 10 years. 10 years. But thank God for God's grace that He doesn't quit and begin to fulfill out what God has called me to do in my life. And that is what I'm doing now. Let's stand for a moment. Never would you see my father take a microphone and talk about Jesus. It would usually be a couple of swear words, a bottle of beer and some cigarettes, and Jimmy, go get me another beer. And you've all heard him sing. Most of you heard him sing. You would always hear him talk about Jesus, and you'd always hear him talk about God all the time. When he walked into a room, there was a presence that came with him. I would tell you that's a man who used to run from God, but when he got saved, he ran to God. And he never stopped running to God. And when God called him home, he was running to God on his death. And he waited for his whole family to leave this world before God let him go home. We all got together. You see, Staten families, we're a stubborn bloodline. I did our ancestry and we're 86% pure-blooded English people. I was like, you got to be kidding me. We are stubborn people. But I will tell you this. No matter how stubborn you are, how mean you are, it will never trump God's love. It will never trump God's love for you. I struggle through this message because I know someone's struggling super bad this morning. And we're just going to have a time for altar call for you. If you want to come down and you want to pray, that's always good. You want to run to Jesus, you want to run to the Lord. Maybe it's time to stop running in the opposite direction. Maybe it's stop trying to be so intellectual and so smart and just run to Him. You're not looking for it, but there's always a blessing when you run to God. There always is.